Hello, hello.
Hello. Bailey, nice to see you.
I know, it's been months.
It's been so long, far too long, waiting in anticipation for the launch of season three.
I know, you just haven't seen me. I've been too busy working and researching in my history den.
Yep, like a history gremlin.
Yeah, you just don't see me in between episodes, or in between seasons, do you?
Nope, you just climb under your bridge and just hang out there.
Bridge, I'm not a troll.
You're a history troll.
Don't call me a troll.
We're here. We're excited. And we're really glad you enjoyed the Christmas and New Year specials.
It seems like you guys really enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Which is good. We're glad.
Because we really enjoyed them as well.
They were so much fun.
They were super fun.
I can't get this where I can also read comfortably.
Get it figured out.
I'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay, that seems good.
Seems all right.
It's 2022.
I know, how did that happen? I'm pretty sure it's still 2019, technically.
I know. Do the past two years actually count? I think not.
I'm not sure. But then, you know, they brought you the Generally Spooky podcast, so that's pretty exciting.
That's true. We have a lot to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what was your favourite season two moment, Kieran?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm kind of confusing it now, but I think it's still the devil and his chariot riding out to sea.
Really? That's still your favourite?
I think so. And the sailor.
Clayne Castle.
Yeah. And that guy sailing his ship in and just looking over and seeing that and just being like, yeah, it's not going to be a good day, is it?
I'm not sure. Or is it going to be a great day because I've missed this guy?
Oh, that's true, eh? We didn't crash into that guy. I think that. What about you?
I think my favourite was the end of the Stone of Destiny episode.
Oh, so fair play.
The very end of the last episode of season two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I haven't had that warm, glowy feeling in an episode before.
Yeah. That pure, unadulterated patriotism.
It was really special. Yeah. There was something about the atmosphere in the office when we were recording that.
Mm-hmm.
That just felt different. So it stuck with me.
I mean, it's made my answer seem really, like, lame, but...
No, I don't think so.
That's okay.
It's what you enjoyed.
It's what I enjoy, because I'm a boy.
Well, we had a lovely Christmas and New Year.
We did. We have rested. We've recuperated.
Recharged.
Ready. To bring you season three. Oh.
You don't even know what I have planned for you, boy. You don't even know.
Oh, but I'm excited. I don't think I know any of the episodes that are upcoming. Because we decided them, or you decided them, sometime during season two.
I did, yeah. I planned ahead this time. And kind of mapped out where this season, and potentially next season, is going to take us.
How exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We're back for 10 episodes again, I believe.
Yes. Unless something awful happens, we're going to be back for 10 episodes.
Mm. Touch wood.
You did that just at the same time that the dog just got himself comfy.
He's settling in for the story.
He is. But Kieran, I'm not only bringing you 10 episodes this season.
No.
No.
What else are you bringing me?
Well, Kieran, I'm also bringing you exclusive Patreon content.
Really? Tell me more.
I'm not sure how much we will have told you guys by this point. Probably quite a lot, because if all goes well, if you've joined Patreon, you're listening to this episode a week before the official launch date.
Yep, because we're recording this mid-January.
Yes, so, you know, it's kind of difficult to tell. But we are joining / will have joined Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.
If you don't know what Patreon is, it's where creators can go... And they put up exclusive content behind, like, a paywall?
Yeah, there's a subscription and there's different tiers of membership.
Yeah, and you pay a monthly fee as you want based on, like, the recommendations. And depending on what you pay, you get access to different content. So we're going to have lots more stuff there, as well as a week early release of all the main episodes.
Yeah, the main podcast as it is now is still going to be available in exactly the same way. But you're not going to have to pay for the podcast. But if you're interested... Over on Patreon, we're going to have lots of mini episodes.
Yep.
A bank of mini episodes. We're going to be running a book club,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very excited about. That's my, like, pet project.
Where Ailey's going to be reading out a story.
Yes, we're starting with The Turn of the Screw by Henry James,
mm-hmm.
which is a short novella. So we're going to have that. We're also hoping to have The Blether,
mm-hmm.
The Wee Blether.
The Wee Blether.
Which is just a podcast of us chatting.
Yeah, us chatting. And you get to know us a bit better
yeah.
if that's of interest to you. Because chatting more topically about whatever we fancy.
Yeah. So if you're interested in any of that, go and have a look at Patreon.
Yes.
Or over on Instagram. I'll hopefully have more information up there by the time this goes out.
Yeah, we don't have a link for you, but if you go to generallyspooky.com.
Yeah, there should be a link there.
We'll have a link there to where you can see it and join it.
But if you do have questions, if it's something you want to find and you can't, just email us.
Oh yeah, generallyspooky@gmail.com.
Yeah, just send us an email or message me on Instagram.
Message Ailey on Instagram. You can message me on Twitter, but it will...
I was... What?
You're looking about to throw up.
Oh, because I shouldn't hold it in because you kept talking. You started up your sentence again. I thought you were going to see me and then I had to hold it in. I was being polite.
You were. You almost threw up for it.
I did not almost throw up. I looked like I was almost throwing up.
Yeah.
It's not the same. I was just holding in a cough.
You can DM on Instagram.
Yes, I will. I use Instagram most often. That's probably the easiest place mm-hmm. to get a hold of us. That's where I spend my time.
Yep. I don't spend it online, so you can't really get in touch with me. But
no.
I'm here. Ailey passes on stuff to me.
Yeah, Kieran exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it. I'm doing me, guys. Well, so yeah, come join us on Patreon.
Please
Very
do.
Exciting.
It's going to be lots of fun. And if you want to support the podcast, you want to keep the podcast mm-hmm. going, this is the perfect way to do it. Because...
Yep.
You know, it helps keep the lights on and we have our new mics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of you guys donating to the podcast via our PayPal button. This is another way to do that. Mm-hmm. And you get content in return.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Well, I think that's all our sort of general catch-up bits.
The general news. There's been a lot of feedback on me trying to come up with a name.
Yes, if you've listened to... I think it's where we read your ghost stories.
I think it was both. I think I started
both?
Trying on the reading the Reddit ones. Did I? Or was it? Oh, I can't remember. It was definitely the New Year's one, though.
Kieran is trying to come up with some kind of... I don't know if nickname is the right word.
Mm.
Badge of honour.
Yeah.
If you are a listener of the podcast, mm-hmm. he wants to bestow upon you a title / nickname.
Mm-hmm.
And he's toying with a few... And I don't know how I feel.
I don't know. So the generals.
Yeah.
Was fairly mixed reception on that one. Some
yes.
people were for it.
Dubbing them the privates has been kind of vetoed.
Yeah.
We also had troopers suggested.
Yep. Oh, and someone suggested that you can be a trooper and then you're a super trooper if you made it through the Mary Queen of Scots episode.
Yes.
Thank you for that recommendation.
That was a good suggestion. Because if you haven't listened, I think it's our longest episode.
I think so. It's like
so far,
two and a half hours. Like I almost didn't make it through it, and I was sitting here with you. It was a lot.
Not because it's boring.
No, it's excellent. It's just
to be clear, Kieran is not dying of boredom during his own podcast.
Yeah,
that I force him to listen to.
Mm-hmm. You know, just a lot of the people I follow online have nicknames for their readers, listeners, watchers.
We'll think of something.
Yeah, they're just apparently wittier and more creative than I am.
I don't know. If you have any suggestions or anything that you would like to
mm-hmm.
be known as, then, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
Put Kieran out of his misery, please.
Well, I've just started now. I can't not. It's in my brain.
Spooksters.
Like a tick. Spooksters. Well, would you like to enlighten the generals and myself with what today's story is?
First, I would like to put out a notice.
Oh, I'm ready though. Oh.
If you have a ghost story that happened to you or someone you know, or just a generally that creepy story, please email it to us.
Yes, actually.
generallyspooky@gmail.com.
Yep.
Because we had so much fun recording that episode, reading your ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to do more.
Absolutely.
But the only way we can do that is if you send in stories, because otherwise it's just us making them up, and that's not fun.
No. Well, it's different fun, I suppose.
So email us.
Yes, please do.
With anything. It doesn't have to be strictly ghosts, just in the creepy genre is fine. That's all I had to say.
Generallyspooky@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can get that at the website, which is generallyspooky.com.
Yes.
There's a contact button.
Or if you're confused about anything, like I said, you can send me a message on Instagram.
That's the easiest way.
I will come to your aid the best I can.
And again, I will not.
No.
Yeah.
Kieran just retreats into his hole.
I get put back in the cupboard until I'm needed.
Yep. I charge him up.
Mm-hmm.
Then wheel him out.
Rewit me.
Got him to fix all the drafts around the windows today. That was that was your task.
So I was taking out the cupboard for. Mm-hmm. Got silicon everywhere, but it was fine. It was largely controlled.
Being an adult, be like. Well, now that all that's out of the way,
mm-hmm.
we can begin, if you'd like.
You can enlighten me, the generals, the troopers, the privates, the spooksters.
Not the privates.
No, not my privates.
It's rude, Kieran.
You're not talking to my privates right now?
No, it's rude.
It's rude. Sorry.
Well, this week, since it's somewhat current and topical and in the news, which I'll explain a bit later, we're going to be talking about Marion Walker and Margaret Aitken today. You probably haven't heard those names before.
Nope.
But you definitely should have. And I'm really looking forward to sharing this story with you because I had no idea before sort of stumbling across Marion's name and then looking into the story from there. For today's story, we are venturing all the way back to 1597.
Ooh.
We're taking it all the way back.
All the way back to the witchcraft era.
Yes. We are once again under the rule of King James VI.
Oh.
The son of Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yeah, nice callback. Nice.
Well, I feel like people are going to get fed up of me linking everything together. I just find it helpful.
I find it helpful.
But I hope it doesn't get repetitive.
Well, don't stop it for my account. Or even, please don't stop because I need it.
Okay. Well, as long as it's helpful to you, then yeah. I guess it's useful.
Otherwise, I'm just floating through time.
Well, that's just dangerous, right? Kieran. You shouldn't even joke about that. To be clear, I'm not talking from personal experience. But that's definitely something you should not do.
Okay.
Do not float through time.
Okay, sorry.
I just feel very passionately about this.
Okay, don't float on the gondola of time.
Don't. Especially on the gondola. Do you know how fast those things go?
Not very.
You'd think. King James VI, son of Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yep.
At this time, 1597, James was only King of Scotland.
Mm.
He wasn't King of England yet. By 1597, he'd been King of Scotland for about 30 years.
Cool.
But it wouldn't be for another 6 years that he would be King of England.
It's got a long time already.
Yeah, he reigned for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, remember, he became king when he was a child.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So he wasn't a ruler that whole time, but he was king.
Interesting.
Because he became king when he was a baby.
Yes, yep.
So just for some context, he's King of Scotland. And we've talked a fair bit about James VI here on the podcast, to the point where I don't even know if it would be worth doing a podcast episode on him, because we've talked about him so much.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because we talked about him a lot during the Mary, Queen of Scots episode.
Mm-hmm.
But also during our witchcraft mini-series.
He was very important to that.
Yeah, he was a major figure in that whole debacle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to the mini-series yet, you totally should. It's awesome. But the funny thing about all of that is, today, we're talking about witches again.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want me to leave the water in or do you want me to take that plug out for the witchcraft miniseries?
If someone would like to adopt a Kieran, please come to 100 Internet Avenue. You can come and pick him up. Free to a mediocre home. I will warn you, he eats and shits constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But very affectionate.
It's my two favourite things.
Verging on clingy.
It's getting a bit personal. Is this why they don't like me or why you don't like me?
Everyone loves you. I love you.
This is true.
See, I asked for a mediocre home.
Couldn't ask for a bad home. Don't be grateful. Please continue.
1597 was the year of the second great witch hunt in Scotland.
Okay.
It happened between March and October of that year.
Quite a long time. Very nice.
Now, the first witch hunting mania that happened in Scotland before this were the North Berwick witch trials, which we've talked about. That was when Agnes Sampson was tried and convicted.
Yep.
And the first episode of the witchcraft series is about Agnes Sampson.
Yes.
So if you want to know more, check out that episode, because I'm not going to talk about that here, because we've done it already.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the second of these great big witch hunts. And after this witch hunt, 1597, a large-scale Scottish witch hunt wouldn't happen for another 30 years.
Hmm.
And it's because of something we're going to talk about in this episode.
Hmm. Did they just think they got them all?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Ooh.
It's even more scandalous than that.
Scandalous!
Did anyone else watch Recess?
I know, I haven't thought about Recess in a long Recess. Time.
Oh, my God.
Quality.
Do you know how badly I wanted to be Spinelli?
She was the coolest, to be fair.
In 1597, King James was fairly obsessed with witches, it's fair to say. And by fairly obsessed, I mean completely obsessed.
Yep.
This was the year he published his famous book, Demonology, which we talked about.
Yep.
And it's all about black magic and the dangers of witches and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Highly entertaining. I'm sure you'd agree. Highly entertaining. Now, quite often, James would attend witch trials in person. That's how interested he was. He was the King of Scotland, but he would attend these trials personally to ensure that justice was done in the name of God.
Yep.
But on top of that, he was also incredibly paranoid, because he saw himself as this crusader for, you know, faith and justice.
Mm.
He was very paranoid that the witches that were plaguing Scotland were going to be coming after him personally.
Mm.
He was very scared, very afraid. And I mean, you could argue that he started it.
Well, yeah, he's his own worst enemy in that regard, because if he wasn't hunting them all, they wouldn't come after him.
Well, yeah.
If they existed.
To a point, if they were out to get him, fair game.
I know, right? I was like, oh, well, yeah, of course, you're trying to get rid of them all. They should be out to get you.
He was being a prick, so, you know. But that's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In March 1597, this new wave of witch hunting mania seemed to kick off with a big witch trial that was held near or around Aberdeen.
Hmm.
One woman in particular, Janet Wishaw, was accused of being a very bad egg.
Oh, no.
Apparently, she was responsible for striking people down with fever.
COVID? Oh, my God.
Careful what you say. You know, you might kick it off, Kieran.
Oh, sorry.
It's like a, what is it? Something Tinder.
We're not dating right now.
No, like a spark. Anyway, she also threw hot coals out of her doors and windows.
Well, that's rude.
And she did this, obviously, to cause horrendous storms.
But of course.
Very bad news for a community living near the coast.
Mm.
She had faithful feline familiars. Did you like that? I wrote that myself.
I enjoyed that.
And they would stalk the night and give people terrible nightmares. Nightmare cats.
Mm.
And she was found guilty of all of this and more. And was executed in the usual way, which was, Kieran, how were witches executed?
Strangled and burned.
Why was this?
so that they couldn't cast spells when they were being burned.
Bonus point, why were they burned and not just buried or whatever?
Presumably so they, because it was the most ungodly, so they couldn't find peace. I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Well, you were right. They were strangled before being burned, so that they couldn't cast spells as they died, curses. But I was saying that the reason that they burned them, or at least part of the reason from what I saw, was so that they could never be reanimated.
Oh.
Because they were just ash.
Well, there you go. You tried to put a person together from ash? Very difficult.
That, and witches were never properly buried.
Hmm.
Because they were servants of the devil.
Well, I assumed it was something along that line, because good people got buried.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what happened to Janet Wishaw, unfortunately. Mm. Poor Janet Wishaw. So that's where this witch mania kind of started in 1597. And it just exploded from there during 1597.
She was the flashpoint.
Kind of, yeah. Witch hunts started happening all over Scotland. They were happening in Fife, Perthshire, Glasgow, Stirling, Aberdeen. Nobody was really safe. Can you imagine the kind of panic of hearing about all these things happening?
Yeah, and the widespread paranoia. Be weird.
I can't even imagine. Can't imagine what that must have been like.
In a way, it must be really scary. Both that you might be accused of a witch, but also just scary because there's that many witches doing all this terrible things everywhere.
Well, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people genuinely believed that these were witches.
Yeah, because I'm sure, in a horrible way, a lot of people got a lot of relief when witches were captured and killed.
Well, I mean,
just a strange thought.
I could well imagine people would see that as relief that the witch was caught, when it's actually relief that it wasn't them.
Could be both.
That they'd feel better about themselves because it's happening to someone else.
Yeah.
It's like classic bullying.
Yeah.
That even if you aren't a bully, you're, you know, relieved that it's happening to someone else and not you.
And there's the whole range of people. Because I'm sure some people would go, no, that person could never have been a witch. I knew them really well. And then someone else would go, oh my God, I knew them really well. I can't believe they were a witch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scary times.
Absolutely. In a little town called Balwearry, I hope I'm saying that right, which is near Kirkcaldy in Fife, there lived a woman named Margaret Aitken.
Oh, I've heard that name.
It sounds like the start of a fairy tale.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Mm.
Balwearry had a reputation already of being in itself a magical place, even though it was really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
In the articles I was reading, it's referred to as a hamlet, so it's really small, but it had a huge reputation. King James V, the father of the current king. Hold on. King James VI can't be the son of King James V and Queen Mary. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. I've caught myself in a lie, I think.
Oh. That's it. Out to the stake. My brain's trying to resolve it and it's not working.
If you give me a minute, I'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
No, that's not right. King James V was Mary, Queen of Scots' dad.
Oh, that makes more sense.
I had that wrong. So the grandfather of King James VI.
Yes.
And my apologies, I had that wrong in my notes. I wrote father instead of grandfather.
How dare you?
But this is why I check. Because little things like that really annoy me when I hear them.
When you catch them.
Mm-hmm. King James V. He claimed to have had a dream that involved the town of Balwearry.
Mm.
He claimed that the local laird's son had visited him in this dream, along with a host of demons. And this was enough to make King James V afraid of Balwearry and the laird, and he was convinced that they were coming for his power. All that good stuff.
Very nice, very nice.
Classic. Yeah. There was also a man from Balwearry in the 13th century, so the 1200s, that everyone just recognised as a wizard. He was just the wizard. And from what I read, he was actually just interested in science, but that was enough.
Well, I mean, if you did things, basic things with science, it would seem like magic.
Yeah. But, people don't care about facts, so he's a wizard.
He's a wizard, Harry.
It's just cooler. He's a wizard.
I think I heard someone say this. I feel this isn't my original thought. But someone talked about how, like, something is magic when you don't understand how it was done. So that is the magic. If you see a magic trick, it's only magic until you learn how it's done, and then it's not magic anymore. But then with pretty much all technology there currently is, you don't know how it works. So is it magic? Like, you don't know how your phone works, really. Or if you think too long about what the internet is, it gets very confusing.
I guess.
So is it still magic?
You pose an interesting question.
In that case, is Silicon Valley full of wizards?
Full of arseholes, I think.
Mostly. Anyway.
Anyway, Balwiri is where Margaret Aitken lived.
Yes.
And eventually, the suspicious eye of the Kirk and the authorities landed on her in April of 1597.
But if it's a hamlet, it means it has no church. Oh my God.
Well, the Kirk, generally. the being the Kirk.
Just thrown out my standard grade geography knowledge.
People don't even do standard grades anymore.
I know. And half the listeners are Americans. So they definitely don't know what a standard grade. It's the exams you take when you're 13 and 14.
Yeah, which don't exist anymore. The score system has moved on.
Something else. Anyway.
We're old.
We are old.
Oh, Kieran just turned 28. It was his birthday, like a week ago.
Yay. Thank you. Hold the applause, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Margaret Aitken was suspected of being a witch. So they very casually brought her in for some questioning.
Well, that always ends well.
You remember how chill the questioning of witches was in the 16th century, don't you, Kieran?
Yep. It's not good.
No. In all likelihood, Margaret was horrifically tortured so that she would confess to being a witch, even if she wasn't.
It's not really questioning, is it?
No, it's just torture to get what you want.
Yeah.
And it happened time and time again during these witch hunts and witch trials. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't listen to the witchcraft series, possible interrogation techniques included things like pulling or crushing fingernails, sleep deprivation, and just good old beatings.
Yep.
Until you said what they wanted you to say.
Mm-hmm.
So Margaret confessed to being a witch.
Yep, saw that coming.
Can't even blame her.
Nope.
Bonus question, Kieran.
Do.
Why was it bad for Margaret that she had confessed to being a witch? What was likely going to happen to her next?
Presumably she was going to die.
Why so?
Be put to death. Because being a witch or associating with a witch was punishable by death.
Yeah, well remembered. Passing your spooky standard grade. No, just geography, baby.
My standard spooks.
But yeah, chances were she was a goner.
Yes.
Confessing to witchcraft meant you had committed a cardinal sin. You were in league with the devil. And this is in a time where everyone is fiercely religious and godly. Or at least you pretended to be, so they wouldn't be hanged as a witch. You would be put to death. And that was the only punishment suitable for someone that was a witch. All that being said, what do you think happened to Margaret Aitken at this point? She's just confessed.
She was taken to Edinburgh and jailed to await her death.
Okay, that's a good guess. But no.
Oh.
That's not what happened.
Did she turn into a bat and fly away?
No, that would have been better than what's about to happen.
Okay.
But no. This isn't Terry Pratchett. This is This is the 16th century.
This is history. It's very serious.
Always. That's why we're so super serious all of the time. Like the most serious. Nobody does serious history better than we do.
Nope. We don't make any jokes. None. At least not ones that are funny.
Okay, moving on. Do you want to know what really happened?
Yes, please.
During her confession, Margaret must have known that she was in trouble. She must have realised that they've pushed her to say the one thing that she shouldn't have said, because it's the one thing that's basically going to seal her fate. So Margaret has to think of something that might save her. at this final second.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to be quick on her feet. So she says something that keeps her from being strangled.
Oh, shit.
She manages to think of something to say to save her life.
Does she say, I can give you more witches?
How did you guess?
Oh.
I have it written down here. I was going to ask you for like what you thought would happen, what might save her. I can't believe you just came out and...
Oh.
Babe.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, before they strangle her, I'm like, oh, well, what will they need her voice for? Oh.
Well, yeah. Margaret told her accusers that, yes, she was indeed a witch. She was working with the devil. But they couldn't kill her, or at least they shouldn't kill her, because she was actually a witch finder. Margaret had a gift. And she told them that all her accusers would need to do is place her in front of someone that they suspected was a witch. She would look into this person's eyes, and if she saw the special witch's mark there, then that person was confirmed to be a witch, 100%.
Wow, that is a top-notch lie.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good, then she has the power to save all these other witches, potentially.
Or
to cast them all to death. Taking you with me.
Mm-hmm. So this is the only reason they kept her alive.
Mm.
Was because she was useful. But I hinted at it there. But can you see where this goes wrong and what the problems are with what Margaret's just claimed to be able to do?
Mm. It's given her too much power.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to die.
Yeah.
Basically. It seems to have started in May 1597, the month after Margaret was first arrested.
Mm.
This was when she told her accusers that she knew about a huge gathering of witches that had happened in Athol. She claimed that this convention, which is what it was deemed, it's not Comic-Con or anything, this convention was made up of about 2,300 witches.
That's a lot of witches.
That's a huge number. To give you some context, in total in Scotland, about 4,000 people were accused of being witches total.
Oofed.
It was a little under 4,000, I think. So to say that over 2,000 people were at this convention alone is massive.
Mm. That's a... Oh, excuse me. That's a bold claim.
Mm-hmm. And Margaret began working with the witch hunters. She started working with the church. They would bring suspects to her, men and women, but mostly women, and she would stare into their eyes. If she saw the witch's mark, then she would say so, and the witch hunters would believe her unquestionably, and then that would begin proceedings of trying to get a confession, trial, conviction, death.
That is wild.
She did that.
I mean, I was rooting for her. I'm like, oh, that's such a clever lie. Now she can save all these other people. That's what I was hoping for. No, she's just gone bitter in resentment and is going to take as many people with her as she can.
But then I guess if she says she's a witch finder and can't find any witches, they're going to kill her.
Yeah. You'd have to find a balance. One in every five.
What's the balance?
Hmm.
I'm sure the one in those five wouldn't think that would be fair.
I mean, better than the other way around, which it sounds like she's going to do.
Mm. Those who were committed to rooting out witchcraft in Scotland were extremely interested in what Margaret had to say and the abilities that she claimed to have, including King James VI himself.
Ooh.
He heard about Margaret and was intrigued by what she could do.
King Jammy himself's going to come down.
King Jammy. So King James is interested.
Yeah.
He's so interested that a commission was created by the king to hunt witches on the word of Margaret. That's how seriously they were taking it.
I mean, why believe her?
Well, why believe witches exist?
That's true, eh? People just go around saying things, other people believing them. There's no fact checking.
Not really, no.
And if you went, well, why don't we do like a little test to find out, and then you can like compare it to someone who you know is a witch, and then because you've come up with that idea, you get declared a witch, and then
yeah,
or a wizard.
Although, put a pin in that thought.
Oh, okay.
Basically, all these witch hunters believed that Margaret was going to be their secret weapon, their tool to breaking the hold of the devil on Scotland. If you remember from the witchcraft episodes, there were certain legal hoops that you had to jump through in order to charge a witch.
Oh, yep.
A royal commission had to be set up first. And they're the only ones that could search and convict witches. So you couldn't just do it willy-nilly. You had to have permission. And you had to follow this route.
You had to go through the proper points of authority.
Yes, which happened based on what Margaret was doing.
Shit.
So she was taken to many places across the country so that suspects could be brought before her and so that she could look them in their eyes and decide whether or not they were guilty of witchcraft.
Imagine them wheeling her out like Hannibal Lecter on the big, like, gurney thing strapped up with the mask on.
Don't think so.
Because, you know, she's a witch. Like, she can't be trusted. Although she's being trusted for this, but you can't trust her and you don't question that.
Well, because assumedly she's still, like, a prisoner. Because she is guilty.
Yeah, like, they know...
She confessed.
She's a witch.
And I say guilty... I don't believe she was a witch, to be clear, but she's confessed to that crime, so in their eyes, she is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she had to look them in the eye before making just an arbitrary judgment that often led to their death. Like, she had to look them in the face. I can't even imagine. No, I know I've said that a lot this episode, but just...
It's a bit mental.
It's wild. And it sounds evil, but it seems like she did this just so she could stay alive. And she had to be useful. If she hadn't said what she said or did what she did, they would have killed her. No doubt about it.
I feel they're going to kill her in the end anyway. Because she's a witch. But
I mean, she's not going to mean anything to them.
Yeah.
Over the next few months, Margaret condemned hundreds of people to death. Hundreds.
That's not good.
No. Her reputation even grew to the point that copycats were springing up.
That's never good.
In a couple of different places. And I mean, can you blame them? If they found themselves in the same tight spot that Margaret had been in, they effectively have a ready-to-go get-out-of-jail-free card.
That is true.
That might just save their life. So, it sounds awful, but...
You give it a go to stay alive, wouldn't
you? Well, yeah, I don't think anyone is... perfect enough to say with 100% certainty, like, oh, I would never do that.
No.
Because nobody's about to kill you.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's unfair to judge too harshly, even though what they did was wrong.
Absolutely.
Because you have no idea what you do.
Yeah.
Eventually, a man called John Cowper heard about Margaret's talent. And this was a bad combination, if there ever was one. Now, there isn't much information available about John Cowper. I found what I could. But he was from Edinburgh, and he was a man of God. He was a Presbyterian minister. So he's a good guy, right?
Obviously.
He's a good guy. He has to be a good guy.
Everyone in the church is notoriously good.
No, absolutely fucking not. John became the minister of Glasgow Cathedral, which we used to walk past almost every day.
Beautiful building.
When we were living there. It's really close to the infirmary and the necropolis. I think it's between them, actually.
Yes.
Possibly. We should do an episode or a mini-episode on the necropolis, because it's a super interesting place.
Sounds good to me.
Anyway, John was the minister of Glasgow Cathedral from 1588 until 1603, when he died. And when John heard about the amazing work that Margaret was doing against the devil himself... John wanted a piece of it.
Yeah.
He literally begged Margaret's captors to allow her to come to Glasgow to help him root out the witches there. And they agreed. And John was thrilled.
I bet he fucking was.
Margaret's time in Glasgow ended up being particularly bloody. Because it turns out that there was a lot of witches hiding in plain sight. Which was even more impressive because Glasgow was a lot smaller then than it is now.
Well, that's true.
I read that in the late 1500s, Glasgow was about half the size of modern day Fort William.
Give my brain a minute. That's very tiny.
Right? So to find what sounds like swarms of witches is an even bigger deal.
Yeah.
But you know what was the most weird about how successful Margaret was in Glasgow? Most of the people that were put in front of her and most of the people that she ended up identifying were people that John Cowper didn't like. And oh, who didn't God. Like him.
What a coincidence.
Isn't that weird?
That's so weird.
Isn't that really, really weird?
How good for him, though. That's pretty sweet, isn't it?
I know. You know the best way to make people like you or to just erase your shitty reputation? Kill them.
Kill your enemies.
And ensure they don't get respectful, proper burials.
Yep.
So they'll never go to heaven.
Leave you in peace up there.
Yeah, that'll sort all your problems.
For all your noble work.
I couldn't find any specific figures or data on how many people Margaret condemned in Glasgow. There's really not a lot of information available. And I got really frustrated with this to start with, because I just couldn't find anything. But then I found out that this second Scottish witch hunt is actually known to be the least documented of all of them.
Oh.
Which made me feel a bit better. And the reason for this is that the main authorities of the time, like the national courts, they didn't record any of the witch trials during 1597.
Just couldn't be arsed.
Well, it was recorded at a local level instead.
Oh.
And not many local records of this time have survived. They just weren't kept as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they haven't survived the passage of time. So we don't have a lot of information, which is a shame because so many people suffered. And it's like the final insult that the evidence of that trauma is just gone.
More that it was so insignificant it didn't need to be kept a proper record of.
No.
Makes you a bit sad, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I was frustrated to begin with because I thought it was just me. Because I've said this many times, I'm not a professional, I'm not a historian, so I don't have the knowledge to know where to find stuff. But then I found out that it's not very well documented anyway.
Well, that makes sense.
So there's not a huge amount to find. But if you're a historian listening to this and you have access to some magical vault, then let me know.
I wonder if any historians do listen to this.
Oh, probably not. I bet we're maddening.
Probably.
Like, if I was a professional historian or a professional ghost, I wouldn't listen to this podcast.
If you're a professional ghost.
Yeah.
Do you feel underrepresented?
Yeah. Misrepresented. We don't get anything right.
Fucking kill me.
I try very hard. But I don't have the professional knowledge to go... Or even to know where to find the source information.
No.
So it's tricky.
And who has the time?
I don't have the skill. I don't have it. But I'm open to being told things.
Yeah.
During the 1597 witch hunt, on the whole, around 400 people were tried. And about 200 people were executed. That's just from March to October alone. That's not a full 12 months.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and it feels pretty relentless. Mm-hmm. And it feels kind of hopeless when you hear numbers like that. Because it just feels so unfair.
I'm surprised so many people got off of execution. Like, I assume basically once you were accused, you're pretty much done for. Like, if 400 people got tried.
Yeah. I guess it depends who they accused, though. If that person had money.
Oh, yeah, right enough.
You know, that would play a factor. Or, you know, if... John, the minister, was just picking on people that he didn't like. If it was a scare tactic, they might just bring them in or knock them around a bit and then let them leave again.
That's true, eh?
I don't know.
Or someone else could accuse them and then someone in power would go, oh, well, I know that guy. He's my friend.
Yeah, I think it would depend on where they came from and who they were.
Luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh.
Luckily, I have a twist in this tale.
Oh?
And it's going to be pretty wonderful.
Oh, that's nice. That never happens.
Kind of. Margaret was happy doing her thing in Glasgow, sacrificing others in order to save herself, which I'm sure if you're listening, you'll have a variety of views on this, depending on what you feel is morally right.
Anything but that, carry on.
But then an unnamed individual, we have no way of knowing exactly who came up with this genius plan, but they were a genius and ahead of their time.
Was it you?
And I wish.
Hmm.
But I've already said that I have no personal knowledge of floating on the waves of time.
That's
so
true.
I couldn't possibly comment. Hmm. This unnamed individual started developing doubts about Margaret's talent. About bloody time.
I know.
Like, seriously, why was this not done sooner?
Hang on.
This person came up with the perfect way of just making sure that Margaret was being truthful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she probably is, but we should be absolutely certain in case someone starts asking questions. They seem to have been the first person to suspect that Margaret had more reason to lie than she did to tell the truth.
Mm.
The plan went like this. A group of people would be brought in one by one for Margaret to judge and condemn, just like normal. And she did her thing when they did this.
Mm-hmm.
She looked every single one of these people in the eye and she chose who lived and died.
Oh, well, maybe she chose half of them. The 400 to 200 ratio. Maybe that was her.
Well, usually she would do this if they were suspected and then they would...
Then they get brought to trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is just a usual day, normal day for her. But instead of these people being released or arrested for trial, this same group of people were brought in the next day, but they were brought in a different order to before, and they were also somewhat disguised, so they were dressed in different clothes and they did what they could to make them look different than they had the day previously. Now you can probably tell, but the plan was that if Margaret was being truthful and was in fact basing her judgment on this witch's mark she said she could identify in their eyes, she would pick out the same selection of people she had the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the same eyes, so the witch's mark would be in the same places.
Yep, it's the classic test. Right? That's what I've said about all the, like, being a psychic stuff. That's the basic test you give them, and they can never pass it.
Right, well, this is an early version of that, but the stakes are much higher.
It's an early bird stake.
It's not just being right, it's saving people's lives.
Yeah.
Now, what happened next was shocking. Unexpected. Couldn't have been predicted at all. Margaret didn't recognise the people that she had picked out from the day before.
No.
Not only did she not pick the same people as witches, she didn't even register that she had seen them before.
Which, when you've stared someone in their eye, you'd think you'd recognise them.
Nope. No recognition.
Wow. You find out she's blind.
Well, some of the people she had initially outed as witches, she now said were innocent. And she was condemning people today that she had said were innocent yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Can you imagine the embarrassment and the horror? Margaret's supporters had taken to calling her the Great Witch of Balwiri by this point. Just to give you an idea of how devastating this blow would have been.
Well, I was just thinking of, like, if the captors that the minister begged to bring her, you know, they're obviously pleased as punch with themselves that they've got this woman. And then this random saintly unknown individual. Someone's, oh, so, like, what's the crack? What's the crack with her? Like, what's going on? Like, oh, well, she stares people in the eye and can tell if they're witches. Like, oh, wow, like how did that come about? Like, oh, well, we were torturing her for being a witch and we were about to murder her. And then she said that. And then just the big pregnant pause. Well, what if she's lying?
No.
Why would she lie? Well, because it...
Not Maggie. Maggie wouldn't lie.
If she didn't say that, you would have killed her. But she did say that and now she doesn't die. And presumably you will keep her alive as long as she's doing this. Then just the, you know, like the birds chirping. No! Or just, oh, fuck.
I know. Well, now all of those people that you're talking about who had completely thrown in their lot with Margaret just had it confirmed in front of their very eyes that she was a complete fraud. A complete fraud.
She Helen Duncan them.
She did. She did indeed. But she had more of a reason to do it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was threatening Helen Duncan with death.
No, she's just a raging arsehole.
But you're going to upset people. You keep bringing her up.
I keep bringing it up.
And you keep talking about her in a bad way. You upset people every time you do that.
They haven't gotten in touch yet, so it's fine.
Not only had Margaret managed to hoodwink them and pull the wool completely over their eyes, she had potentially condemned hundreds of innocent people to death.
Who are presumably already dead.
Yeah.
That's not going to feel good.
No. But then the irony here is they were very upset that she had done all this and was lying and had killed innocent people. Yeah, they were all upset that she had lied and killed innocent people of being witches.
Yep.
There's a certain irony that they are upset that she has condemned innocent people of being witches.
Yep. Yep.
Can you hear my eyes rolling?
The irony is not lost on me.
Mm-hmm. But the problem of Margaret was a particular problem for the church, as you can imagine, because they had trusted a charlatan.
Yeah.
And they were now responsible, in part at least, a big part, for the deaths of so many people.
Yeah, and they trusted a known witch who was found guilty.
But this was all an evil act.
Yeah.
And the church couldn't be seen as being wrong or being evil. They were supposed to do good.
What's also ironic is that's exactly something a witch would do.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Interesting.
Mm.
Kieran's just sprouted a whole new theory about the story.
So she is a witch. Oh my God. We'll put that back in with the other irony board.
Well, what's important to remember as well at this time is that Catholicism was being shunned and punished in favour of Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
Protestantism. The Covenanters would sign the National Covenant in 1638, which is about 40 years away from this point.
Yep.
So there is a transition happening, and there is a lot of conflict based on religion.
Mm-hmm.
So the Presbyterian Church has to maintain their authority because they're trying to be the dominant religion.
Yes.
They can't be seen to be fucking up this badly.
To be going and trusting a witch who turned out to be very witchy and then witched all these people into their grave.
Yeah. And they were part of it.
And then you went, God damn it, she got us. Oh, it must be because she put a spell on us.
But you know, like, they're trying to show that this is the correct religion, that you shouldn't be a Catholic, you should be a Protestant.
It's not. It doesn't look good.
No.
It's a PR disaster.
After this big reveal, Margaret Aitken was arrested again and charged with being a witch again. But she wasn't getting away this time.
No.
She basically, through all of this, received a stay of execution, which is what you said earlier, if you remember. She wasn't killed back in April when she was initially arrested, but they got her by the end of the year. Now, this time, she made a formal written confession in which she admitted to being a fraud, that she was not a witch finder. She was... I can't remember she... I think she confessed to being a witch, but she said she wasn't actually a witch finder.
That sounds like what they'd want her to say.
I can't remember. But in this confession, she admitted to wrongfully condemning people. But in the confession, she implicated the ministers and the witch finders that had facilitated her.
Oh.
Because she admitted to condemning these people, they were part of that.
Absolutely.
So this is important. This will come up again later.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Aitken was executed in August of 1597.
Yep.
And she was hanged and then she was burned.
Yep.
A sorry end to a very sorry affair, in my opinion. So that's only April to August.
So much damage caused in such a short space of time.
Yeah, that's not a long time.
No.
I didn't put that together when I was writing it because I was so fixed on the March to October figures, but she died in August.
Yeah, that's season one to the witchcraft miniseries in length.
Yes, a sorry end to a sorry affair, but this wasn't actually the end.
Oh, she comes back as a ghost witch.
No.
Oh.
You should write that comic, though. Something was about to happen that would bring even just a tiny bit of balance and justice to the story.
Well,
and really, that's all you can hope for when we're talking about the witch trials.
It's, yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
It's all locked in already, so if you get any win...
Just, drag a little bit back to the right side of the argument.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need a lot, just like a little.
Just a bit.
A little bit.
Give me a little something-something.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of sugar.
This is when Marion Walker enters our story.
I was just trying to think, what was the other person's name? I've already... My short-term memory's failed me.
Exactly. I mentioned her right at the top.
Yep.
Like, I bet you'd forgotten about her while I was telling you all about Margaret.
Well, I started wondering, because I could only remember the first person's name, Margaret Aitken.
Odin.
Can you stop digging, please?
He's trying to dig to freedom. This isn't Alcatraz, bud.
Yes, it is. Give me a raft made of jackets.
Vulcanized rubber, Kieran. Vulcanized rubber. That's what they used. They sealed the jackets together. You don't think that's impressive?
Yes.
Over, like, steam from a pipe?
I don't know what vulcanized...
They, like, sealed the jackets together.
That's pretty good.
Why are you... We're different people. Anyway, we're not talking about Alcatraz right now. Marion Walker.
Marion Walker, not of Alcatraz.
No. Again, very little information about her.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is good.
Oh.
And a lot of it is thanks to a researcher called Dr. Daniel McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
He was the director of the Jesuit Center for Catholic Studies at the University of Manitoba in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He's studied Scotland and Scottish history for a long time. He retold Marion's story as part of a presentation on how Catholics in Glasgow resisted and pushed back against the rising tide of Protestantism. Why can't I say that? Protestantism.
Protestantism.
So that's what his presentation was about, and Marion's story became part of that.
Mm.
Now, as you can probably tell, Marion was a Catholic.
Yep.
And she was firmly against the Protestant religion. She didn't agree with it. She didn't want to be a Protestant. She was a Catholic. And as far as people go, she was a pretty normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, she wasn't very famous. She wasn't very wealthy. Wasn't well off. She was a widow, which made life very difficult
mm-hmm.
for women back then and throughout history. So there wasn't anything that made her particularly special, apart from her capacity for bravery and how principled she was.
Oh.
Because she didn't just roll over for things she didn't agree with.
Fair play.
She was already vulnerable being a widow, because being a widow was enough to single you out as a potential witch in the 16th century.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. So... she was very brave to stand up for what she believed in a time where people could just point the finger and she'd be dead. Dr. McLeod said this in a BBC article. A lot of times when we think about women in the early modern religious context, we think of this quiet, meek kind of devotion. But that is not Marion Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Marion was part of a whole network of people in Glasgow who were resisting the Kirk and maintaining their Catholic faith.
Very nice.
And through this network, Marion found out about a document. A very incriminating document.
Oh.
A document that would make the church look really, really bad. Now, given that this is still 1597, which incriminating document do you think she found, Kieran?
Did she find something to do with the minister and this, I forgot her name now, Margaret Aitken?
Marion found out about Margaret Aitken's written confession in which she admitted to her lies. Not only that, Marion managed to get her hands on it.
Fuck. How?
She had this confession, and this is basically worst case scenario for the church. Because in this confession, Margaret Aitken named John Cowper as one of the people responsible for the deaths of so many innocent people.
Oh.
She laid everything out.
Damn.
She said exactly what she had done, all the lies she had told, and mm-hmm. who had helped her. And John Cowper was one of them.
Shit.
The church and the people who were involved in the Royal Commission to hunt these witches, they wanted to hush up the whole Margaret Aitken affair. They didn't want anyone to know.
They fucking did.
Yeah, they didn't want anyone to know how badly they messed up. So what did Marion do?
Gave it to the press.
Marion shared the contents of this document as widely as she possibly could. She told everybody. She was one of the first whistleblowers.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because she wanted as many people to know what happened to Margaret Aitken as possible.
Fuck.
She wanted people to know what she had done and what the people in power had done to her. She wanted people to know the truth, and she didn't want the guilty parties to just get away with it. Took a lot of guts.
Yeah.
The information in Margaret's confession shocked Glasgow.
I bet.
It shocked anyone who read it or found out about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
It rocked their faith in the justice system because they had executed so many people on the word of this person.
Yeah. Who was a witch?
Well, yeah, and it's someone that they tortured so badly that she was driven to sacrificing people to save herself.
Crazy.
That was the like the edge of madness that they had pushed her to. So they knew what they were doing to witches. And John Cowper was absolutely furious with what Marian had done because it made him look horrendous.
Yeah.
Everyone knew what he was responsible for now because, you know, he had begged for Margaret to be brought.
Yeah.
And in response to the truth coming out, the church really closed ranks and they brought the hammer down to try and keep this hush. They threatened to gag anyone who voiced the opinion that the church were to blame for these deaths. Literally gag them. Do you remember the Scold's Bridle from the witchcraft episodes?
Is that the big, like, metal helmet face cage thing
with like
a bit in your mouth?
A big metal cage that you put over someone's head and it, like, clamps down on their tongue.
Blah.
That's what the church were threatening people with for talking about this. Just for saying what was true and what had actually happened.
That's chill, isn't it?
Like, what?
Getting covering up that harder than Boris Johnson going to a party after COVID comes in.
Oh, don't get me started on that. He's a piece of shit and he knows it and he needs to be gone. Oh, cannot.
Hmm.
This is not the time, but I'm very, very upset about the whole thing. But the church couldn't hide the truth completely. In the end, the royal commissions that had the permission to charge and arrest suspected witches were shut down by King James himself.
Ah, he's come to the rescue. Classic. Mm-hmm.
Since the witch hunts that had happened that year now just seemed like miserable failures.
Yes.
And that's why the witch mania of 1597 ended in October and didn't pick up again for another 30 years.
So everyone would be too afraid, wouldn't they?
People were so upset by what the ministers had done because like it wasn't true.
Yeah.
None of it was true.
That's wild. So does that mean there was like no witch arrests or there weren't any widespread like hunts for the next 30 years?
From what I saw, there wasn't anything on a huge scale for 30 years. I don't know for sure whether anyone was convicted of being a witch in that time.
Mm.
But there was nothing like the mania that happened this year and with North Berwick.
Yep.
There was another 30 years until the third great witch hunt happened.
That's wild. That makes sense why in our witchcraft miniseries, it jumps over quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. This is why.
Yeah, between Agnes Sampson and who's the second person?
Isabel Gowdy.
Yes. They had quite a big gap between them, I think.
And this is why I said in those episodes that they are not a fully comprehensive guide to Scottish witch trials, because there's this whole story that we didn't even touch on because couldn't do it. Marian managed to escape persecution as a witch.
That's good work.
Which is an amazing feat in itself, because she basically painted a big bullseye on her back.
Well, yeah.
But the reason that she was never targeted as a witch, and I think this kind of answers your earlier question of why not everyone who was tried as a witch burned. Her reputation was too good. She was known as a defender of the underdog, a defender of other women. She had a lot of allies. A lot of people just wouldn't believe if someone said she was a witch. She had too many supporters. So the church didn't even try because they knew it wouldn't work.
Fair play.
And they knew there would be absolute uproar if she ended up being executed. And they wouldn't want to deal with that either. So she was safe. And she was so safe that she went on to harbour a man called John Ogilvy. And he was a Catholic priest who would go on to be canonised in the 1970s, which means being made a saint.
Oh, shit.
After being martyred for the Catholic cause. Fuck. She hid him in her house in direct defiance of the church.
That's crazy. She sounds very cool.
Right. Absolutely badass.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a satisfying piece of information for you.
Oh.
That might help bring some closure about John Cowper, the arsehole.
Yep.
He died on Christmas Day, 1603. He died on Christmas.
Oh. 1603, 6 years later. Damn.
Christmas. That's what happens. Karma'll get you.
Karma's a bitch.
He was a bad man. He deserved it.
Yep.
Yeah, Marian was amazing, but unfortunately I don't have much more to tell you about her. other than her amazing act of heroism, that's all I could really find. Yeah. And a lot of that has come from Dr. Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the one that really rediscovered her story.
Thank you, Dr. Daniel.
Indeed. Thank you, Dr. Daniel.
I'm sure you won't listen to this, but thank you.
Now, I mentioned at the start of the episode that the reason I chose this story as our first episode is because it's topical.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, see, I got you.
I've forgotten.
This might be a bit confusing because this story took place in the 1500s.
Yep.
But bear with me.
It's not overly topical.
As of this year, 2022, right now, it looks like all those who were convicted and executed for witchcraft in Scotland are going to receive full pardons from the Scottish government.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to happen. I've held back from talking about this as yet. A lot of people have sent the articles and things. I didn't want to talk about it too soon because I didn't know if it was actually going
to
happen.
Well, that's true. You don't want it to hype it up when it's just good intentions.
Mm-hmm. Back in 2008, there was a previous campaign that didn't work. And they brought their case to, I can't remember. It was Full Moon Investigations. I think that was the name of the group who campaigned for pardons, but it was knocked back by MPs, MSPs, just saying, you know, there was no need, like it wasn't going to serve any purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, the campaign's been brought by a group called Witches of Scotland, and it seems to have been very successful.
Well, I think, arguably now compared to 2008, there is more need for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a need then, obviously, but with all the current change that's happening just now, and all the turmoil, I think it's very important to get them, or it's more important than ever before to get them pardoned just now.
Well, I mentioned this, I think, in one of the witchcraft episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which one. But a law was passed in Scotland in 2018 that granted automatic pardons for any gay men who were convicted of homosexual acts.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument is that this law being passed has set a precedent for those who were wrongfully convicted of witchcraft.
Mm.
That they should also receive pardons. So that's one of the things that's changed since 2008. And the UN also issued a resolution urging countries to address accusations of witchcraft that still happen.
That still happen?
Mm-hmm. Happens in a lot of countries. Still a thing.
Oh, the UN. I was thinking the EU.
That UN.
That makes more sense.
UN. Which also strengthens the campaign for pardons, I think, because it shows a commitment to moving away from that kind of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
If the UN is calling for current witchcraft practices and, no, not witchcraft, like current witchcraft convictions and accusations to stop, Scotland issuing pardons moves them further away from that.
I think so.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And if the group are Witches for Scotland, Witches of Scotland?
Witches of Scotland.
Witches of Scotland, not Witches for Scotland. That's the Scottish Independent group. that makes sense as well, because, well, especially with relative to the gay men being pardoned, and there's still gay men about, and, like, well, we're still witches, and that was our heritage that's been shat on in the past, and we'd like it pardoned, is more powerful than the Full Moon Investigations if they're just general people.
Well, I think that there's also, the Witches of Scotland are pushing for the pardon to happen on International Women's Day.
Oh, nice.
This year, which would be the 8th of March.
Uh-huh.
And I think a big push for the pardons is because the majority of people who were convicted and executed of witchcraft were women.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 84% were women. So it's discriminatory on that level that women were generally targeted. And that's not me saying it didn't happen to men, but women were generally targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for things like being different, being unusual, being vulnerable. So that's a big push as well to kind of demonstrate a commitment to having a zero tolerance to discrimination of any kind. Now, the three main goals of the campaign by Witches of Scotland are to obtain a pardon for those convicted as witches under the Witchcraft Act 1563, to obtain an apology for all those accused, and to obtain a national memorial to remember those killed as witches. Because currently, one doesn't exist.
Huh.
There's the well outside Edinburgh Castle, but it's not a national memorial.
No. I feel like there should be one.
Exactly. So do they. So that's what they're pushing for. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, well, the season one will still be going by then. Hopefully we'll be able to address if that's in March.
Do you mean season three?
Yes, yeah. I meant this season.
Yeah, they're really hoping for March 8th. Mm-hmm. That's International Women's Day. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. I don't know what the time frame is for that. I really don't know. With COVID, I don't trust anything to happen when it's supposed to anymore. But if you're interested in learning more, they have a website at witchesofscotland.com, and they have a podcast.
Oh, nice.
Which I would highly recommend. Mm. They talk to lots of experts because they are much better experts than we are. So go, what are you doing here? Like, go listen to them.
Yeah, we're just talking shite over here. I don't know. We're not trying to change history. We're just talking about it.
They are.
Yeah, that's much more momentous than what we're doing. Definitely than what I'm doing. I'm just sitting here cracking jokes. Inverted commas.
But that is the story of Marion Walker and Margaret Aitken, the whistleblower and the witchfinder.
Thank you very much.
What do you think?
What an excellent blast off for season three.
I thought it was such a good story.
That was a really good story.
Couldn't not have it as a main episode, yeah. Even though we have our witchcraft minis, mm-hmm. or the mini-series. I wanted to do this anyway.
Well, that's funny, because I saw your laptop the other day when you were doing the research, and I saw a Wikipedia page about, like, witchcraft of some kind open up, and I glanced over and went, oh, that's weird, since we've already done the mini-series. Mm-hmm. Must be, like, a tangential thing you're just checking. But no, that was totally worth it. That was in need of its own episode, I think.
It's so unusual to have both a female witch finder mm-hmm. and then a woman who was able to upturn authority.
Yeah.
I think that was what made this stand out to me.
Should have done it for International Women's Day. Damn it!
But now I feel like this was a good first one, because now people know that this campaign is happening.
Yes.
And we can hope for the 8th of March.
Fingers crossed.
Look ahead and hope that, because I think it should happen.
I think it should happen too. Absolutely.
You know, they were wrongfully executed. Mm-hmm. They should absolutely be pardoned and have a memorial, because yeah. they weren't buried.
Come on, Sturge. I know you've got plenty of time to listen to podcasts, and you definitely listen to our podcast.
We love you. We really do.
Big fans.
Big fans.
Help see this through.
Yeah.
Ms. Nicola Sturgeon, miss. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we're back, baby.
We're back. Guess who's back? Back again. It's us. We're here.
What would you rate this story, Kieran?
I rate this 200 wrongfully convicted people out of 400.
Is that a rating or is that a fact?
Both. No, obviously it's got to be 17 coffins.
And if you don't know what that means, you need to listen to our very first episode.
Yes, you do. Except I sort of don't recommend it, because
it's not good.
It's not very good.
It's not good. We didn't know what we were doing.
I know.
We don't know what we're doing now. We really didn't know what we were doing.
I know, I'm always upset when, like, I hear that people have listened to the podcast and they start with the first episode. I'm like, no, don't start with the first episode.
Or
like,
at least keep going. Don't make that the only one you listen to.
You know, it's like, if you go back to the first episode of Friends, it's not very good. It was the pilot. Nobody knows what's going on.
First episode of South Park.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's good, but only once you've watched the more recent ones.
Well, which,
then you can appreciate it.
Which one episode would you recommend people do listen to then?
I always say the Loch Ness Monster one, but I think now it would possibly be the Stone of Destiny.
That's the one I was going to say.
Yeah. One of those two, which are funny because they're both the season finales.
Yeah. There must just be a vibe. Mm. Must be like the last day of school.
Playing rounders, bunking off early. Good time.
Smooching.
Oh, who are you smooching?
Hmm?
Who are you smooching?
You.
Oh, that's all right then.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. And again, come join us over on Patreon.
Yes, please. We're going to have so much fun.
Yep, it's going to be great. We should have some sort of URL you can look at after we get it organised. Mm-hmm. In a couple of episodes' time.
We just don't right now.
We don't. We're getting there.
But we will.
We will.
We will.
It's coming. It's going to be great.
It's just kind of a lot.
It's just sort of a lot.
We're kind of swamped. But it's fine.
It's fine. Okay, bye.
We will see you next week.
Yes, we will. Bye.
Bye.